Welcome back to Left of Normal. I'm your host, Scott Seary. In this episode, we take a look into a bit of middle school and how I managed to get through it with some strategic defense mechanisms. So last week, I took you through what it was like to complete schoolwork early, and then a unique set of circumstances took place that had me leap over sixth grade and move right from fifth into junior high. This leap, while it looked good on paper and seems like it's a cool thing, was not good for development, and it created this weird feeling of inferiority that has stuck with me for decades to come. So, as I mentioned, I was a little 11-year-old in seventh grade, and suddenly put into this place where I had to survive with a bunch of older kids. So, I did what I knew worked. I upped my performance game. Now, if you recall from episodes 1 and 2, I think I touched on it a little bit in both of those, everything a Left of Normal does is a performance. It's a carefully calculated act that follows the strict social rules that everyone else seems to know by instinct. But for us, it's a constant analysis of what's going to work, what won't work, what has worked, and what will hopefully work, so we don't make a complete fool of ourselves. I was talking to my friend Zach about this the other day, and after I relayed the story of how I made a fool of myself by insulting John and then completely spelling his name incorrectly, he replied with, "Well, yeah, that's just life. Everyone sticks their foot in their mouth at one point and looks like a fool. You just have to move on." And I said, "Yeah, yes, we do. The difference is the reaction and how we process it. Most people see other people make a fool of themselves. They might laugh and then they move on. Most people, when they make a fool of themselves, get over it and move on. Left of Normals go through and analyze the situation, determine what happened, discover what social rule we broke, and then completely adjust our behavior, because it's a lot of work to have to analyze these things every single time." So back to seventh grade. Back to where I was thrust into a performance where I didn't fully know the lines. I had no script, I had no guideline, and I had minimal opportunity to scope things out and learn the script before I was there. So I went with Old Reliable. If you have ever had to give a presentation to a group of people, you probably started things off with a little joke. Maybe a jab at society, a jab at pop culture, a twist of words, what we like to call a pun. What you were doing was trying to break the ice, loosen things up, and get your speech or presentation rolling. Beneath the surface, however, there was a whole lot of psychology going on that most people don't care to learn. For me, I don't want to just know what works. I want to know why it works. So when you use humor with your audience, it creates this instant bond between you and them. Now you have something to offer, which makes your audience pay more attention, and they like you and are more attracted to you, and now the audience is more receptive to what you have to say. And you thought it was just to break the ice and calm your nerves, normie. So if humor in a presentation is a great way to break the bond with people and get them to like you and trust you and be open to your ideas, wouldn't it work great in everyday life? As in literally every day? In order to create those bonds, I found myself leaning toward being the class clown. And not really class clown, because work time is work time and not clowning around time. But between classes, at lunch, before or after school, at youth group on Wednesday nights, at church on Sundays, I was always on the lookout for something I could do or say to get a laugh. Because if I can control the situation enough to get a laugh, the focus is off of the real me and onto the obvious performance that I am putting on. So like I mentioned back in a previous episode, if it's obvious that it's a performance, then it doesn't matter as much if you screw up, because it's not really you screwing up, it's you screwing up the performance. Now, of course, that class clowning backfired every now and then, and there are two instances that stand out in my mind. One where I didn't really know my audience, and the other where I just made a really awesome decision that wasn't appreciated for its awesomeness. The first instance. On occasion, if work was finished in school, we no longer had the computer lab to go to. I don't recall if it was closed down, or the computers were just too obsolete, or maybe at that age it just wasn't cool to go play on a computer anymore. Whatever the reasoning was, I don't think it was actually even an option. Instead, there were a variety of board games we could play. And despite having an analytical mind, strategic games like Axis and Allies were never high on my list of those I enjoyed. But in this case, it wasn't the actual game that was important. Instead, it was the board game box. A new box fits really nicely together. It's a snug fit, and it helps keep the game in its place. Of course, that means it's also hard for the air to get out, and if you set the lid on lightly and then push down in the middle of the box, it makes this really nice farting noise as it settles into place. Naturally, as an 11 to 13 year old boy, fart noises were by far some of the funniest things, and the subject of countless jokes. And they still are by far some of the funniest things and the subject of countless jokes. But at some point, even the fartiest of sounds becomes more than enough. Now, I don't recall if it was the first or 50th time this particular 20 minutes or so that I pushed on the box, but Amy, who was a grade ahead of me, and I think she was actually old for her grade, so she was even not just a grade ahead of me, but she was like two and a half years older than myself, maybe closer to 3 years older than me. And she thought she was all that. Instead of, there's five or six people in the group, including myself and Amy. And instead of giggles that I expected when I made the farty box noise, she commanded more attention and scoffed at it, saying, "Ugh, gain some maturity." Now, I broke out of my routine because I didn't really have a routine. I didn't have the script to go along with if somebody mocks me or says to gain some maturity. I didn't really know what to do, and so I looked straight at her and I said, "Shut up, Amy." And then I got up and walked away. I had to get out of there because I was suddenly thrust into this improv performance mode, and nothing good would have come of that other than maybe curling up under the table and crying. So that was the first situation where humor backfired on me. The second situation was more of awesomeness and performance, less of humor. And it might have actually taken place in ninth grade, but I'm pretty sure my cohort in crime wasn't going to the same private school as I was when I was in ninth grade, so I think it was an eighth. When we arrived at school in the morning, most students would hang out in the all-purpose room. And then as it grew closer to the time that class started, we made our way to our second floor classroom. But the church school was built so that the first floor was exactly ground level, but then there was a big berm of earth pushed up against the side of the building. I can only assume for better water drainage. And then that berm of earth was covered with juniper bushes and grass and maybe some flowers off in the corner. But what it did was it made it that the second story window, instead of being maybe 15 feet off the ground, was really only about 10 feet off the ground. One day the teacher was running a bit late and all the students were in the classroom milling about. It was a nice day, so the window was open, letting fresh air in, and I walked over to the window and, for whatever reason, I decided to remove the screen. I think I'd just recently learned that you just pull the little tabs and the whole screen pops right out. So I wanted to show off my newfound knowledge. Someone most likely made a comment about, "Don't jump out that window." And so I looked around and I saw a lot of eyes on me, and I said, "Well, That's what I was about to do, and I got up and I jumped out the window. And obviously it wasn't a big fall, 10-ish feet. I landed in the bushes that padded my landing. And so I ran back upstairs and I did what any other awesome boy would do, and I jumped out the window again. And the second time around, Ryan Cooper, who's actually now a pastor at the same church, jumped out with me. We hustled back inside, replaced the screen, giggled and laughed about it because it was fun to do. And then we sat down like good students and we waited for the teacher. And of course, someone, I don't know who to this day, couldn't handle how awesome that was, and they told on us. And later that day, I had to make my way down to the principal's office, and at least part of my punishment was writing something along the lines of, "I will make good choices and be a better example," several hundred times. So, resorting to humor wasn't all bad. I feel it has helped me get through a lot of situations and played into a big part of my personality, and when you combine my amazing sense of humor with my dashing good looks, it helped me get in good with my wife and when I worked up the nerve to ask her out the first time. But it was also a defense mechanism, and being the clown has cost me opportunities as I wasn't taken seriously when I should have been taken seriously. Once a clown, you're always a clown, and that's what you get labeled as. So, humor in the right place was good, but it can also lead to a lot of problems when it's relied on as a defense mechanism to get you out of an uncomfortable situation. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, we'll head out of junior high and transition into high school, a transition that didn't go over so well due to a variety of circumstances. As always, please like, comment, subscribe, however that stuff works. I don't know if you see an option to rate the podcast, but like a million stars would be cool. And join the Facebook page if you haven't already. It's Left of Normal Community. I had to add that community in there since just straight Left of Normal was already taken. And over on that Facebook page, if there's anything you'd like to know about, just please let me know. Just ask questions. Nothing is off limits. But if you're like too obnoxious with farty noises, I'll just delete your comment. Thanks for listening. Until next time.